we have faced the empty cave. And whenever we face that empty cave, we hope that the story of Easter can offer some wisdom about how we can find strength in faith, a new vision, and a renewal of hope.
The story comes from the book known as the Gospel of Mark. When the Jewish Sabbath day was over, two women, Mary Magdala and Mary, mother of James and Salome, go to the tomb carrying spices to embalm the body, all according to Jewish ritual and tradition. They are a little concerned because it's just the two of them. And they're not sure how they're going to get the door to the tomb opened. You see, these tombs were actually small caves cut into the side of a hill. And the doors were these big, heavy stone circles that ran in a track. And the way you opened the tomb was you had to roll this big stone circle aside. Mary and Mary weren't quite sure they were strong enough to do it themselves. And they're wondering whom they could trust to help them open up the door. But when they get to the tomb, the door is already open. This was not good. After all, Jesus had been executed on trumped-up political charges. What were they walking into here? Were they going to get arrested by the government forces? And then they look inside the tomb, and there's this young man, a youth, sitting off to the right. Who is he? Secret police? An agent of the Romans? He speaks to them reassuringly, telling them not to be worried, and saying that Jesus is going ahead to meet them all at Galilee. These words do not reassure Mary and Mary, and as soon as they can, they break away from this mysterious young man and flee from the tomb out of fear and amazement.
The Gospel of Mark ends in confusion and fear. Terror and amazement seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. In this, the earliest of the four Gospels, probably written around the year 50 or 60, there is no sign of Jesus. There is no sign that Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus doesn't show up in this version to reassure his followers that everything's going to be okay. And so everybody's left wondering what will happen to them. Perhaps that's why someone added an alternate ending to the Gospel of Mark, maybe 100 years later. In this new edition, the writer actually does put Jesus face to face with his disciples, reassuring them that he's gone ahead, and everything's gone according to plan, and everything's going to be okay.
The second story comes from the book known as the Gospel of Matthew. Mary Magdala and the other Mary go to the tomb on Sunday morning. Suddenly, there's a strong earthquake. There's someone sitting in the tomb, although in this version of the story, it's not a young man sitting there. We're told it's a messenger of God. He speaks to them reassuringly, telling them not to be worried. And saying that Jesus is going ahead to meet them at Galilee. Mary and Mary hear this and feeling apprehensive and joyous, they hurry away to tell the other disciples. But whom do they meet along the way but Jesus himself, who talks with them briefly? Meanwhile, word gets back to some of the evil rulers of Jerusalem that Jesus' body has disappeared. They bribed the guards to tell everyone that some of Jesus' disciples came in the middle of the night and took the body away. And that's why Mary and Mary didn't find the body first thing in the morning.
So this version is quite different, isn't it? In this version of the story, Jesus does actually appear on Easter. He greets the women, speaking directly to them. And the Marys, instead of being afraid, are joyous. And instead of keeping a secret, they can't wait to tell the others that the tomb is empty. Jesus has risen.
The third story comes from the book known as the Gospel of Luke. First thing Sunday morning, a group of women make their way to the tomb to prepare the body. When I say it was a group of women, it included Mary Magdala and the other Mary, Joanna, and the rest of the women who were close followers of Jesus. They get to the tomb, which is already open, and they look inside. No body, no Jesus. Suddenly, two men appear and start talking to the women, telling them that they're not to go back and that they're not going to find Jesus in the tomb, that Jesus had risen. So without further ado, the women walk back to the 11 male followers and tell them what they had just seen. But to the men, the women's story sounded like utter nonsense, so the men refused to believe it. That is, the men refused to believe the story until two of the men happened to be walking to another village, and suddenly there is Jesus walking along with them, except that they don't recognize him. And then they get into this long conversation with Jesus, and Jesus finally says, "Hey guys, it's me." Finally, the men believe, and they go back and tell the other men, who finally believe what the women have told them.
Luke's version was written around the same time as Matthew, around the year 70 or 80. Again, the tomb is empty. And again, we do see Jesus. But the difference is that there are many more actors. There are many more characters in this version. And all the conversations are longer. And also in this version of the Easter story, the women are very active. It's the women who get it. It's the women who see and recognize, and they're the ones who are propelled to action, rushing back to tell the men.
The fourth story comes from the book known as the Gospel of John. Mary Magdala comes alone to the tomb to prepare the body. She sees that the tomb is already open, so she goes back to tell two of the male disciples that Jesus' body is gone. Followed by Mary, the two men go to the tomb. They look around. It's empty. They go back home. But Mary sticks around, and suddenly she sees two heavenly messengers, and next thing you know, there's Jesus standing there too. She has a conversation with Jesus, during which he says, "Don't touch me." And then she goes back home. And that evening, Sunday evening, Jesus appears to the other disciples, says shalom to them, and has a brief conversation before disappearing again.
This is the newest, most recent version of the Gospel Easter story written decades after the other three. And this one happens to be my personal favorite, just because of Mary's reaction to what she finds. The two men who followed Mary into the tomb were dismayed. They look around, they pick up the cloth. They don't know what to make of any of this. And then, in fear that they might share in the same fate as Jesus, they run away. But Mary stays. She doesn't run away with them. She actually walks further and deeper into the cave, and there she weeps. So we're not sure exactly what happens there. We're not sure what happened at that cave, but we do know what it's like to expect one thing out of life and then to be startled and unexpected by what life gives us. We know the depth of loss that was probably felt by his disciples and his friends and family, because we too have felt the depth of loss. We know what it's like when someone has grown profoundly close to our own lives, that their presence becomes like part of our own soul. And we know what it's like when they are no longer here. And the empty place now in our souls is much like that empty tomb. We're not sure what happened on that first Easter morning, but we do all know what it feels like to feel sorrow and despair and grief. And we understand that impulse to run away from those very uncomfortable feelings, because we feel like we're just not strong enough to face the depths of those sorrows. We don't want to find the empty tomb, do we? We don't want to find the empty tomb and stand there in the morning light, peering into the emptiness of our lives and wondering how to make sense of it all. We don't know what happened there at the cave, but we do know what it feels like to be surrounded by community, a community of loved ones and fellow travelers who will help us to make sense of the senseless. We know that stories and memories and laughter can fill all the emptiness and begin to shore up again with a different perspective that will stay with us for all of our lives. We're not sure exactly what happened, but we do know that there exists a hope and a faith, and that by facing whatever sorrow and grief that we feel and we will continue to feel, that there is also a growing sense of grace and thankfulness in us. Even if we can't feel it all the time, the seeds of joy are growing. The seeds of joy are growing, mysteriously abiding in the human heart. And so it is Easter once again. It is Easter. It is time to invite the light to awaken those seeds in us and to awaken the possibilities within us and among us. It is time to awaken the possibilities for a new life in ourselves and in our world. May it be so. Amen.
The purpose of the religious community is to encourage all who gather there to grow more generous in spirit and in action. This is the great end of all the world's faith traditions, to bring the human being closer to the divine by acts of creation and compassion. We now take an offering that allows us to exercise that all-important generosity of spirit, an offering that will support this self-supporting church and its many ministries. The gifts of the congregation will be most gratefully received.